Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope all is well in the acting world. It is I, the king of DC media, William Powell, and on the line with me is my talented co-host. And she's not on yet. Hold on one second.
Oh, I'm here.
Hey, Nadia, what's up?
I just said my name. I don't know why it didn't go through, but yes, it's Nadia Williams.
Yes, yes. And tonight we'll be talking with comedy horror meister Michael Marino and author Susan Ann Langford. Before we get into that, I've got to tell you about, Nadia, about a scene I filmed for a movie over the weekend. I played a robbery victim in a 20-minute short called Grace over in D.C. Shout out to the director.
I know a few people who are working on that.
Oh, okay. Who do you know?
Dominique Spencer, Patrick
yeah.
Michael Strange.
Dominique was actually robbing me in the scene.
Oh, all right.
So that was pretty interesting. But it was a well-run set. Shout out to director David LaGuerrard. And had a pretty good time on there.
And how'd you feel being the victim?
I didn't like that part about it. I didn't like that part at all.
No.
So how was your
I'm
week?
I'm sure. I met with the cast of Vampires Rise of the Fallen and got to go to the read-through and the big meeting, and we got some extremely talented people on board, so I'm really looking forward to that. And I know you got Sean Anthony coming on soon to talk a little bit about his projects, so that should be a good interview.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I see we have Mr. Marino has joined us already. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. What's going on with Dismal Creek?
Oh, we shot it. It's already out on DVD.
Is that right? Wow, man, you shoot fast.
We shot it yesterday.
You shoot fast.
I didn't know you were
efficient. I didn't know you were that efficient.
Yeah, Nadia was great.
I was so great, I can't even remember.
As always.
You were there and gone. It was amazing. Unbelievable. It's going really well. Thanks for asking me, and thanks for having me on your show again. I really enjoyed it last time, so I'm glad to do it again.
My pleasure.
But Dismal Creek is cooking along, and we will be doing some auditions at the end of April. And I am talking to our main star. We're trying to work some details out, and hopefully that'll all fall into place. And we hope to start shooting in September, October.
Wow, sounds good. Okay, Michael, seems like we have a caller coming in here. Who's on the line? Hello?
Hello, William?
Yeah.
Hi, is your cue board? You know I'm calling. Calling
okay.
In. This is Susan Ann Langford.
Okay, yeah. Okay, you're a little early. But you can hang on until we get to you. Okay, we've got...
Okay, no problem.
Okay, yeah, we've got director Michael Marino on the line here and my co-host, Nadia.
Hello.
Hello, both of you. Awesome.
Hello,
nice,
hello.
To, nice to be a part of your show.
All right, fantastic. So, Michael, what's going on with Dracul?
Dracul is kind of on hold right now. That's a pretty big budget, and we don't want to really go down that road until we absolutely have the right amount of money for it. So that's why Dismal Creek sort of leapfrogged it. I was going to do Dracul first, and then Dismal Creek next year sometime. But opportunities kind of present themselves. You got to be flexible, and the opportunity to work with somebody came up, and Dismal Creek's more appropriate for that actor, and hopefully that we'll keep moving forward, and that's why we're going to go with Dismal Creek first, and we'll do Dracul down the road, when we get the bigger budget.
Okay, all right.
And, Michael, Dismal Creek is based on a true story?
Yes, it is. I mean, it's loosely based on a true story, at least our script is. It's about 5 years ago, some hikers were basically abducted in the Appalachian Mountains by a, I guess you'd call him a hermit, and they were held hostage or held by him for a few days, and the, you know, finally escaped, and the police went up and found the guy. So it wasn't, it's not as dramatic as we're going to make it. We're going to turn it into more of a horror film, but you know, that's where that's the genesis of it, basically.
What drew you to that storyline?
I was reading the paper one day, and I was like, I need to write a movie about this because, you know, it's so, there's a lot of people who go hiking, you know, a lot of people just enjoy the outdoors, and sometimes we forget it doesn't take a lot to put you in a very precarious situation. I mean, aside from the guy that's out there chasing them, the elements, you know, that alone could be a problem. So there's a lot of layers of danger that can be involved with something like that. And, you know, I think that when you add, let's say, a Jason-type character, okay?
Right.
to the mix, you know, it kind of makes it a little more interesting. You know, when you've got four or five hikers out there in the woods, they're only going for a day hike and they end up staying overnight for a couple of nights, the elements, the lack of food, the lack of water, you know, their lack of skill set, and then you've got this Jason kind of character chasing them around. It can make for an interesting kind of horror film. And, you know, I know William and I talked about this in the past where I've kind of got this sort of comedic element. I'm going to try to do something a little heavier this time.
My next question. How much comedy would you infuse in this? But I'm listening, it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of comedy there.
Well, you know, I was looking at the script today, and your voice was in the back of my head because I knew I was going to talk to you later. And I thought to myself, you know, there are a couple moments, little opportunities here and there for some comedic relief. You know, I think in a horror film you have to have those moments to sort of just kind of decompress a little bit. And so there are opportunities there. I just got to decide. That goes down to casting, you know, and the way we want to direct that. So that's probably the main way that's going to play out. You know, if we get the right person for the right role, one actor can make it more funny than another. And so I'm still playing around with a couple of scenes, but for the most part, the script's done. So,
uh-huh.
You know, now we're just going to kind of toy around with pieces of it.
Hmm.
It's all about getting the right group of people together, right?
I'm sorry?
It's all about getting the right group of people in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, you know, chemistry is everything, and having the right actors working together really makes all the difference. I think casting's a real big deal to me. I mean, it really, really is something that I spend a lot of time putting pictures on walls or on the table and just putting people next to each other and thinking, could these people be friends or do they have sort of a similar look or are they too similar? You know, could you see them, you know, having the same interest? So I spend a lot of time looking at headshots, which is why I ask for hard copies of headshots, even though a lot of people don't do that anymore. I like to actually physically look at them and kind of work it through.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that, Mike, because I know a lot of times the casting process comes down to not only chemistry, but, you know, how does each actor fit with the film? How do they actually fit in? I think it's very important.
It is. I mean, you know, a lot of times actors maybe don't recognize or realize that when you audition for something, there's a whole machine behind that door that's going on that, you know, has nothing to do with really you personally, you know. They might just be looking for somebody who's not as tall because the leading man is short, you know. It could be as simple as that.
Right.
You know, or, you know, they need somebody who's a little heavier set because they want them to be a little different looking, you know. It's just so, you know, you never know, even though the breakdowns say, you know, we need somebody who's X, Y, and Z, that could change. You know, they bring in somebody else who's completely different from that, and they say, well, now we got to kind of make that work. And so, you know, when an actor steps into an audition, you never know what you're going to get. And a lot of times actors sometimes think, oh, they don't like me, but no, it has nothing to do with you. We want to hire you because we want to go home too. You know, it's like those days are pretty long. So, you know, it's hard to say no to actors, you know, because most of them are really very nice people, and they put themselves out there, and you have a lot of respect for that. At least I do.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned that you like hard copy headshots. I know there was a story told about Johnny Depp and his first movie. I believe it was a horror movie. And the way he got cast in his very first movie, the director's teenage daughter saw his headshot on the coffee table at home, and she picked it up and was like, who is that? And
yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was just based on looks. But he was able to take it and run with it.
I think he did it one of the first Friday the 13th, actually. I think that's exactly what he did. And he got cast, on his looks. I mean, you know, obviously in that particular case, that had a lot to do with it. But, you know, my reasons for having hard copies are twofold. I think an actor can take a few minutes out of their day and put a stamp on an envelope and send out a headshot if they want to be involved in a project. It shows me that they're interested in making the effort, you know. And it doesn't really require a lot of effort to just send out headshots electronically. You just hit a button. And I know actors who told me this. They're like, yeah, I send my electronic headshot to everything without even reading the breakdowns.
Mm.
You know? And you don't really want to work with somebody like that. You want somebody who really wants to be a part of your project because, it's, you know, they have to show their enthusiasm and passion. And the minimum amount of work they can actually put out is putting a headshot into an envelope and putting it into a post office box. I know
right.
It's kind of old-fashioned and old-school, but it shows a little bit of effort on their part.
Exactly.
It shows that they want to be a part of the project.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's like if you ask somebody to come over to your house for dinner and, you know, even though you don't tell them to bring you something and they bring you even just a bottle of wine, you appreciate the effort, you know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all you're asking from an actor is just to show some effort and show that you really want to do this because as a producer and a writer and a director, you live with it for years. Actors are very fortunate in the sense that they get to walk away from it after a couple of months. And, you know, that's the upside. The downside is you're an actor. You have to audition, you know? You have to go through all that. So I totally understand that as well. But from a producer and a director's point of view, asking somebody to send a headshot shouldn't be a very difficult thing to ask, you know? And it's, you'd be surprised, William. It's kind of an issue for some people. I've run into that.
Hmm.
Well, for the upcoming audition that you have, what are you going to be looking for in actors? Because I know, you know, I've been seeing all your posts on Facebook today, and I can see there's a lot of interest. So I'm sure
right.
there are people who want to know what are you going to look for when you finally meet the person who you've called in?
Well, you mean as far as the people that I am calling in for specific roles or in general? Because that's kind of a...
I guess in general, just for the audition that you have on the 28th or 29th?
Yeah, 28th. Well, what we're doing in that case is we're asking for actors to send in their headshots. And again, I'm kind of putting the cast out on the floor and sort of trying to build the cast visually by using the headshots. And then I'll have four or five people that I'm interested in per role, and then we'll just bring them in, and then it's just a matter of chemistry. You know, that's out of my hands. That's the actor's chemistry with each other, and then, of course, the actor's chemistry with me is almost secondary because I want to make sure that they get along and work well because we're going to have a few actors that I've already kind of cast who are going to read with these other actors and see if there's a good feel between them. Because there's nothing
more exciting than
watching actors work, you know, when they really got it.
Huh. Yeah, it sounds almost like sports. You're kind of like drafting new players in a way. I know you have your
exactly
old reliable actors, and you're trying to bring in new blood.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You're trying to build a team, and, you know, you want to keep your seasoned quarterback around so that the young quarterback comes up and you kind of help them along, you know. And so you got some actors that you've worked with before that you know can do the job, and you like them as people on top of everything else. And then you have the other actors who come along, and, you know, they fit right into the mix. So it's exactly like a sports team. You're just trying to build the right group of people because there's so many other elements of things that are going on a day-to-day basis on a set. You know, I mean, Nadia can answer the simplest question. You can answer this question. You know, a day when the food shows up late throws everything off. You know what I mean? So a little bit like that. If you don't have to worry about the actors getting together and gelling, it's a beautiful thing. It makes your life a lot better and a lot easier on a set.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And for those of you out there who don't know, Nadia was in The Haunting of Pearson Place, which Michael directed some time ago. And I wrote in my review, I can't remember the exact wording, but said something about you've got hands coming from under the bed and chicks in bathtubs and all that. So
I think it was
Nadia
a crazy
was one of the,
chick.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a freaky chick named, it was a freaky chick named Nadia in a bathtub.
Yeah.
Well, it was, that was my first role. And, you know, I credit Michael for really helping me get into, you know, get into the business in this area. So my heart's always going to go out to my first director.
Yeah, well, you know, never forget your first. even if I did scald you, right?
Right.
Oh, well, tell me about that. What happened?
Well, it was the bathtub scene in Hanya Pearson Place. And
the very last day?
I think it was like 32 degrees, possibly.
Yeah.
In the room, there was no heat. Well, they had heaters spread out in this little tiny room in a brass bathtub. And the water was filled with disgusting items, such as, I think, coffee creamer, Diet Coke, just to give it a lovely color. And I'm in this bathtub, and they're pouring hot water in between takes so I don't freeze. And Michael poured in a bucket of hot water that was a little too close to my skin.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got her on the back.
Oh, Michael.
But it worked
on.
Out. You know? I mean, that's why we didn't need any special effects, you know, when we finally screened the film.
Yeah, she,
okay.
It was the last day of filming, so we basically emptied out the craft services refrigerator. And so we had everything from blueberries to raspberry sauce to chocolate syrup.
Yeah.
Hot cocoa to soda to cranberry juice to pomegranate juice to creamer and milk and iced tea. I mean, anything we had that was liquid, and, you know, even things that weren't liquid, to give it that muddy, disgusting kind of look.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was a good sport about it. I think she told me she smelled funny for a couple of days, though. You know. It was a real good sport about it, and, you know, and she was, and in my defense, you know, I was pouring the hot water, and she kind of leaned back, and I thought it wasn't as hot as it was. I was trying to, you know, warm her back.
There you go. Shift the blame.
Yes, yeah, it's my fault. I leaned back.
No, it's not your fault.
I
was trying to warm it back, and, you know, I thought as soon as I saw the water pour out, I realized this water's hotter than I thought it was, because all of a sudden the steam just kicked up, and I went, oh, and I just got her a little bit, you know. So
it was just, you know what, you were trying to make me comfortable, so I was very appreciative.
I was trying, yes. Trying. If I really wanted to make you comfortable, we would have done that on day one in September, you know, so.
Right.
But we saved that one for last.
Yes, I think it was December 12th. I don't remember the date.
Wow, because I visited that set.
Yeah.
I visited the set in it was a crisp autumn day in October, 2010.
Right.
And it was, I can't imagine, I mean, that's a drafty house. I think the owner told me it was built in 1760. That's an old house. It was very drafty, and everybody, you know, there were like electric heaters, and I think you might have had a kerosene heater around there. I don't remember. But I can imagine it would get pretty cold.
Oh, we were cold. Well, I wasn't cold because I learned very quickly, unlike some people, not to dress warmly. So, you know, I was always carrying layers of clothing around. You know, some people were like, it's still cold in here. I said, yeah, it's November. It's supposed to be cold.
Well,
you know, that's why
the time
you wear...
I had a nice dress on.
Well, yeah, in your case, I mean, that, you know, for the actors, it was tough because, you know, they were supposed to be wearing fall clothing. You know, and it was getting colder towards November, December. I mean, it was really getting cold, especially when we had to work at night. And not even, remember, the house seems like it was colder inside than it was outside, you know?
Every now and then, yeah.
Yeah, because, Mike, you know, that's you're giving your actors out there who's trying out for Dismal Creek, I guess, a preview of coming attractions. Talk a little bit about your location for Dismal Creek. Is that going to be, where's that going to be?
We got a couple places in mind. The Frederick Film Commission has been in contact with me, and they're trying to get us to come up there to film right outside of Frederick.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that is a possibility, but like any good producer, they're going to have to give us a lot of free stuff. So, you know, that's the only way, not the only way, but I certainly would like to think that they could help us out with a lot of incentives. We also have the option of possibly going back and shooting on the property that you came out to out in Maryland. I don't want to specifically where to shoot parts of the film there. and then we'll probably do some second unit stuff up in West Virginia in the mountains.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That won't really involve actors. It's more like, you know, just B-roll of, like, you know,
atmosphere.
Yeah,
that's
but I mean,
smart.
You know, you're standing in the woods in front of a tree. You don't know if you're up on a mountain ridge in Virginia or West Virginia or Maryland, you know.
You could be anywhere.
Yeah, soft focus, so, you know, who's going to see it? The bigger thing is, you know, as you know, we're trying to get a fairly good name actor to play the bad guy, the killer. And,
right.
You know, I had a nice conversation with him tonight, and he seems to be on board. It's just a matter of, you know, dates and, you know, working all that out. So,
wow, that sounds interesting. Hey, man, if it works out, it would be great if he could come on the show.
Hey, you could ask him.
Yeah.
You know, I'll definitely put him. I'll put him in touch with you.
Okay.
You
know? Well, Mike, we're coming up on the end of our time, end of your segment. Anything else you want to get out there about the movie?
Yeah, just check out Dismal Creek on Facebook. That's the best place to go because, as we know, Facebook owns the world now. So Facebook, Dismal Creek, if you're an actor and you want to send a headshot and resume, the address is there. And, you know, we'll take a look at it, and hopefully, you know, we'll work together down the road. And, you know, as always, our time goes by so quickly, William.
Yes, it does. We'll definitely have you on again.
Okay. Have a good show. Nadia, take care.
Great talking to you, Michael.
All right. Take care, man.
All right. Bye, guys.
Right.
Take care. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, and now we'll be talking with author Susan Ann Langford. How are you doing, Susan?
Hi, William. I'm just great. How are you? And thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Okay, so talk a little bit about, now you wrote a book, Bringing Down Goliath. Tell us a little bit about the book and your efforts to have it made into a movie.
Oh, sure. Thank you for that. The book is based on a true story. Received a lot of attention at the time. It was actually playing itself out live for media, television, radio, newspapers, law journals, et cetera, et cetera. It actually went AP across Associated Press Wire, and then the story went national. As a matter of fact, this morning, I had a CBS network radio interview. So I've had a busy day. But to get back, the Bringing Down Goliath, based on a true story. The name of the book, for me, is about the powerless American standing up to the big and powerful, unethical and greedy lawyer. It's about the need for change in an American system which allows the powerful lawyers to police their own unethical actions. This is counterproductive and only feeds on the greed and the ongoing corruption in America. Look, I'm not comparing lawyers to rapists, but hypothetically speaking, would you ask a rapist to judge the actions of another person who committed a rape?
Yeah, that's getting us
If your answer is no, then why would we ask a lawyer to judge the actions of another unethical lawyer? Now, that's just hypothetically speaking. I'm not comparing lawyers to rapists. I use that as an example as one entity judging the actions of the same. That's
so
simply all I did there.
It sounds like this movie is sort of a muckraking. This would be a muckraking movie, kind of like Aaron Brockovich, something like that.
No, it's nothing like Aaron Brockovich. Since you brought up Aaron Brockovich, God bless her. We need more people like her. But there are several striking differences. Number one, Aaron Brockovich came after me, not before. Number two, Aaron Brockovich, she did a wonderful thing, but remember now, she was on the attorney's payroll in her work. And being on a payroll, she received pay, income, for doing what she did, and the law firm helped her succeed in her efforts. It's a wonderful thing that she had done. I'm not bringing that down in any way, but you made the comparison, so I'm going to deal with that. And my work,
I think you
my
made
work
your point
spanned 23
there.
Years, and I was not paid a dime for what I did. I incorporated Legal Abuse Must End Incorporated as a nonprofit organization in the state of Nebraska, and educated myself without the help of any lawyers. My job was to investigate and go after unethical attorneys, and I did that on behalf of the citizens of this country who came to me with their concerns and complaints and asked for my help in investigating their issues.
Okay. Hey, Susan, tell me more about the characters in the book and your efforts to get this made into a film.
Okay. The characters, you're asking about a character breakdown right now?
Well, not so much the character breakdown, but well, a little bit of that and also your efforts. I know you're trying to go through the process of getting this made into a film.
Okay. Well, without giving you a lot of detail on character breakdown, because I notice we're only on 4 minutes left in your show, I will say that you have three main characters who are the heroes of the story, and then you have two actual villains who play a star role in the film. You really need to read the book, Bringing Down Goliath. As far as character breakdowns right now, and for some time, I've been accepting actors' resumes and headshots through my email address. And when I talk to them on the phone, we have a one-on-one phone interview, and at that time I talk in detail about the project. And,
uh-huh.
and get a feel for where they're at and what type of roles they enjoy playing. If I feel that we've made a connection and there's a role in the film that possibly would work for them, I then
right.
place their name on what I call my wish list. And at the appropriate time, that wish list is submitted to the selected casting director.
Okay. You want to put your email out there?
The email address is B as in boy, D as in David, Goliath, @live.com.
Uh-huh.
And that is where you may submit your resume, headshot. And if you have a demo reel, by all means, please submit that as well.
Okay.
And Susan, where's the best place to purchase your book?
The best place to purchase this book, if you enjoy the classic hold it in your hands and turn the page, would be Lulu.com online's bookstore. If you prefer Kindle, you would obviously go to Amazon online. And if you prefer the Nook, you would visit Barnes and Noble online.
Sounds good.
Okay.
So talk a little bit more about give me the three main characters. Give me three main characters.
Well, you actually have Mercy Grant, Mercedes Grant, and you have Michael Grant, and then you have Isaac, okay,
uh-huh.
who is the child. Now, those would fall in the category of heroes. I guess you have a special name for that. But then you have two main characters that are actually villains, and they're both lawyers. You actually have a third character there. You have a judge. So there's actually a courtroom scene on April Fool's Day that plays out in which corruption at its finest is exposed.
Wow.
Susan, we are
coming up on about 45 seconds. So anything else you want to put out there?
Thank you, William. I also have a Facebook page if anyone's interested in speaking with me or learning more about the project where I post all updates. Join me on Facebook. Go to Facebook. In the search bar, type in Susan Ann Langford, and my name will come up.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Okay. Hey, well, thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me, William, and I hope you enjoy Bringing Down Goliath, based on a true story, and looking forward to speaking with you again in the future.
Okay. Hey, that sounds great. Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. And I want to tell all my actors out there to do something for your career every day and break a leg.